Benjamin Franklin, in a letter to Jean-Baptiste Leroy, wrote, "Our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Oliver Wendell Holmes, Supreme Court Justice, wrote in a decision, "Taxes are what we pay for civilized society." But perhaps the hoary old chestnut involving taxes that is most appropriate for today's story from Luke is the observation offered by Senator Russell B. Long of Louisiana. The longtime chair of the Senate Finance Committee said, "Tax reform means don't tax you, don't tax me, tax that fellow behind the tree." Now, we're not going to hide behind a tree today, but we are going to spend some time thinking about a fellow who went up into one. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho. Now, Jericho was a great place to hold a position like this. It was an old, established, prosperous community. And as we hear from Luke, Zacchaeus was rich. People who held these jobs got a cut of what they collected. And so you'd want to be in a place like Jericho where there was all sorts of trade going on. Good solid industries. Lots of taxes to be levied, lots of income to be earned. So Zacchaeus would appear to be in a good place. He's wealthy. He's in a position of authority. People know who he is. He's a civic leader. Things look good. And yet something must be missing. Something is absent in his life. Otherwise, why would he go climb a tree to hear the words of this itinerant preacher? Think about it. We've all heard this story many times, and so we can imagine what's going on, but it's all very familiar. But can anybody here think of any political figure they have ever met, any office holder they've ever encountered, who would climb a tree to hear a teacher? What Zacchaeus is doing here violates one of the cardinal rules of politics. Don't do things that will embarrass you. It's like putting on funny hats. It draws away from your authority, your mystique. And yet, Zacchaeus doesn't care. Now, he is a smart, clever guy, and he could always say, "I'm a responsible figure. I need to know what's going on. And yes, you're going to poke fun at me for being short, but I had to hear what this guy was saying, so I climbed the tree." Zacchaeus still could have kept a low profile, but then Jesus called on him. "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. I'm staying with you." And the moment to commit had arrived. No hiding, no excuses, no stories. This is going to be a big moment. And Zacchaeus doesn't worry about what Pharisees are going to say. He doesn't worry about what other officials might think. He is happy to engage with Jesus. He is happy to have him come into his home. Now, you noticed what the response of the crowd was. There was grumbling. They didn't like the fact that Jesus was going to go into the home of this sinner. But Jesus is doing something important here. Something important, not only for Zacchaeus, but for you and me. We've spoken a lot in church about how Jesus reaches out to the outcast and to the marginalized, to the people who are often shunted aside. And the odds are that at some time in each of our lives, we felt that we were the outcast, we were the marginalized, we were being left out. We weren't picked to play on a team as a kid. We weren't part of the in-group at school. We feel shut out at work or church, wherever. We can all identify with this at some point or another, even claim it. But remember who Jesus likes to eat with. It's not just the outcast. It's, as this crowd notes, the sinners. Jesus is thinking about you and me. Do we like to think of ourselves that way, as sinners? Do we? But we are. Frequently, occasionally, big ways, small ways, we all do it. And the church's response to this throughout the ages has often been one of censure and abuse and ostracism, climbing up on a soapbox and wagging the finger. But that's not Jesus' approach. See, Jesus is not celebrating sin, and he's not encouraging it. But Jesus wants us to be healed, and he wants us to be restored. And so he very publicly reaches out to Zacchaeus and says, "I am coming to your house." He wants everybody to know this. "I am your friend. I care about you. You matter to me." And in saying that, Jesus is saying it to you and me. Jesus comes to heal sin. And sin is nothing more and nothing less than what we do to separate ourselves from God and one another. Jesus doesn't want to beat us up. Jesus wants us to be made new. And that is good news. That is exciting news. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to gather around this table to share the Lord's Supper. Lots of different names for this ritual: communion, Eucharist. But today, the Lord's Supper is what I'd like us to focus on. Just like Zacchaeus, we put out the food and the drink, but we are not the hosts. Jesus is the host. He was the host in Zacchaeus' house, and he is the host here today. This is God's meal. We don't get to set the parameters. We can try, but it's not our table. And so we are all going to come forward and share the bread and the cup together with people we have known for years and with complete strangers. We are going to share the bread and the cup with people we love and with people we can barely abide. We can come forward brimming with confidence, overwhelmed by questions. We can come forward filled with joy, burdened with grief. We can come forward, each and every one of us, because Jesus has set this table. Because Jesus has come to restore us and to redeem us and to reconcile us. Jesus has come to us because God seeks out the lost. God seeks out the sinner. God seeks out you and me. Think about that. Think about that. Yes, we may be sinners, but we are more fundamentally children of God, beloved and cherished. So maybe there are times when we can feel like Zacchaeus, exposed and out in the open. people grumbling about us, calling us names, wagging a finger, casting opprobrium. Just remember, there's a voice calling you and calling me, saying, I love you, and I care about you, and I want you. And that is the voice, the only voice that matters. Jesus is looking for us. God is looking for us. And we don't even have to climb a tree to be found.